James Goodison and Megan Ashdown here for URN. We're talking to Eddie Izzard, who is currently campaigning for the Stand Up for Europe campaign as part of the EU referendum. A survey conducted recently by the Electoral Reform Society found that 47% of 18 to 24-year-olds said they would definitely vote this month, while a figure for those aged 65 and older was actually 80%. Why do you think there's such a difference in these statistics?
The difference is, I think, because when it comes to elections, initially the first one comes up, and if you're 18, you go, oh, I've got an election. Oh, I've never done one of these before. And it's a bit odd, and you do think, especially general elections, how does that affect me? But as you get older, you go, I've done two of these, I've done three of these, I've had a family, I've had a house, got a mortgage. And so you want to vote in all of them because you've got used to it. You're more used to all the arguments going out, that are being used and all the debates. You can sort of, you've maybe joined a party. You've worked out what you think about life. So older people, they know where they stand. They know their feelings on things, and they want to make their democratic vote and get it out there, which is a great thing. Younger people, it's just the first time, I think. And I think in general elections, I can understand. I've talked to people in previous general elections, young people, and I've noticed them look away from me because I was maybe doing lines that we were trying to put out. And I think you have to give a positive message about the future, a positive vision of the future. That's what I'm trying to live and breathe. I am a transgender guy. I've been out for 31 years. I'm now touring France in French. That hasn't happened before. I'm touring Germany in German. I don't think English speakers have done that before. I've just started in Spanish. I just played in three languages in 3 hours in my show in Normandy on the 72nd anniversary of D-Day, and I think that's a positive way of doing it. It's a salute to everyone who fell on the day and commemorate that day, but also a celebration of 72 years of peace. That's what the EU was set up for, and never forget that. It was set up to try and lock in peace so that we'd all be living together, working together in some shape or form. Not homogenized, not all becoming the same person, but we just, you know, if you watch an England-Scotland football match, we are the United Kingdom, but the Scottish people are still very Scottish. The English people are still very English. Same with the England-Wales rugby match. So we keep our identities, but we learn to live together, and we can bring things to Europe. And they say, oh, we've learned from you from this. And then we can say, oh, well, the German football team, they seem to be very good. What are you doing in that? We should study that and ways of doing things and trade relationships and all this kind of stuff. We can learn from each other. Surely that's what humanity does. Surely head forwards and upwards. We have to be heading towards an entire world where everyone has a fair chance. And we can't do that tomorrow. So we have to start with the continents. We're the first continent to ever try and do this. It's a difficult thing, but we have to keep going forwards and upwards rather than backwards and out.
So leading on from that, what would you say to young people to encourage them to vote? Would it be this positive message?
Yes, it's the positive message. A lot of young people, they look at the arguments and maybe they get a little confused because the clever people on both sides are putting forward their best arguments. I would say to them things like, well, Sarah Wollaston was on the exit side. She's on the Brexit side. She just exited the Brexit side. She was a GP. She's now an MP. And she says the figures they're coming up with are not true. She based her whole going into Parliament on, she wanted real figures to be used and honest figures, and she said that what Brexit and the figures they're coming up with are just not true. It looks like we could tip into recession. She believes that. The governor of the Bank of England says that. The head of the IMF, the head of the World Trade Organization, the Federation of British Industry, the OECD, the IFS, all these experts from around the world, which the Brexit side just sort of discount. But it does look like that's going to happen if we pull out. And Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton back them up. The only person they've got on their side is Donald Trump, and the head of the National Front in France. Those are extreme right views, so much so that Attila the Hun would be going, whoa, that's more extreme than me. So I think let's stay in. And it's good for young people, for cheap flights to France, cheap flights all across Europe. Those are going to be less flights, and they're going to go up in price. Your roaming charges go down to zero extra pence from next year. That's a great thing to have. European Union caused that to happen. Your EHIC card giving you free health all across 28 countries. We're going to lose that. We're going to have to renegotiate to try and get that. Let's keep all these things. We've got these things. The Erasmus scheme for students to be from low-income backgrounds to be students across the European Union. £1 billion a year coming into universities. These are good things. Let's keep them. Let's work on them. Let's keep trying to make it better, not running and hiding. We're British people. We don't run and hide. Let's stand and fight.
So you were talking about extreme views.
Yeah.
What do you think about Boris Johnson comparing the EU to Hitler?
Well, that's obviously nonsense, and he's been severely bashed for doing that. You know, it's just a silly thing, and he way overstepped the mark. what we're trying to do is exactly the opposite of that. I think what he was doing was murder and a dictatorship, and we are trying to make things where, you know, people talk about democracy. Well, the MEPs are directly elected, and they say, well, is there enough democracy? Well, we have House of Lords, and that is not elected. And so, you know, there are problems in the UK government, there's problems in the EU government. To make it better, we need to be inside it to make it better. And people worry about immigration. And I say, well, it's, if you track back on immigration, when times are good, we say, can the economic migrants, can they get in here, please, and do all the jobs that we won't do? When times are tough, we say, can you get out of here? What were you doing in here? And they say, well, you just told us to come in a few years ago. And we forget that we did this. And I know people have concerns. They do have concerns. But surely we've got to be heading forwards. It's a package that we sign up for. And even if we come out and become like Norway, they still have free movement of people that will still be part of the deal. Even if we're trading in and we're being outside the European Union, they still have to agree to have people coming in. That won't change it. It's a difficult thing to adjust. But economic migrants, they put in 20 billion more in taxes than they've taken out since 2001. 20 billion, from 2001 to 2011, it was 20 billion. It'd be even more now. It must be up to, I'm not even going to say the figures. I want to do exact figures, so more than 20 billion, just so that it's exact. But that's a lot of money. They put more. Sarah Wollaston, the GP, she said, they talked about, you know, people from EU being in the queue ahead of you at the doctors. She said you're more likely to have someone from the EU serving you in the NHS. 130,000 come over as doctors and nurses and care workers, and they keep the NHS on its feet. So it's a good thing to have them. They put money into the EU economy. We actually gain from having these people over. And so you can, you know, and there's scare tactics happening. They say, oh, the entire population of Turkey is going to come over. They're going to move into your house, marry your daughter, your sister, your brother, and drive off in your car and then get your job. And these are not true facts, but it just seems like open season to make up figures and numbers. And Sarah Wollaston has exited the Brexit campaign because she says they are lying about the numbers.
You mentioned earlier today that you've been on the trail for sort of 18 days in a row now. That almost seems quite similar to your sport relief work when you did 27
miles. I know. This was the idea. It's tough. It's actually tougher than the running.
Really?
Because the running, the weird thing about the running is you have to get up, say, like 6. Well, on the last day, I got up at 2 in the morning. That was a tough day when I did the double marathon. But you get up, and I had porridge, Tim, the physio, he would work on me, and then we'd drive probably about half an hour, and then we'd get going. Once I got going, I knew what my job was. Just keep going, keep going. Last day, it was 11 hours and 5 minutes of running. Just keep going, get a double marathon done. And then you stop, and you can rest. Whereas if you're campaigning, if anyone ever does campaigning, you find you stop. You do have breakfast, and then you've got to do. And now you've got to talk to someone on the phone and stop. And then I just did a Radio 2 interview, which is all across the UK, with someone who is debating against me on the Jeremy Vine show. And now I'm here. I'm talking to you guys, and the questions, good questions. And then there's TV, and then it's here, and someone's taking photographs. And then I've got to talk to people, and it goes like this. The graph goes up, down, up, down, up, down, and that's quite tough.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you say, have I done everything? I've got to go and do question time tonight against Chris Grayling and Nigel Farage and down in Folkestone, so, which is down near where I come from. So that'll be good to do. But that's a tough thing to do, you know. So this is actually harder. I never thought it would be.
Due to the increasing prevalence of mental health issues, are LGBTQ rights respected properly within the UK and the EU? And how our identities, people like trans, for example, are still viewed as mental health disorders in some areas.
Oh, they might be, but they're wrong on that.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here telling you. The only way we get better at these things is by coming out and then visiting other countries. And some countries are slightly behind on where we might be in the UK. So I toured France in French. I did actually have a big altercation down in Antibes, a place where I worked when I was 18 year old. And there was a group of teenagers, and they took issue with me, and they were saying not good things to me. I felt there was this murmuring, so I went and confronted them with this, and I was with my support actor, who was a French guy called Yacine Bellus, and he's a French surreal comedian, and he's performing in English now, which is a beautiful thing. He's performing in English, and I'm a British guy performing in French, and these kids were having a problem with it, so we went, and he was saying, and they all knew him, they didn't know me, they just thought I was odd, and then he's saying, hey, be cool. Sway, cool, man, because, you know, he's a friend of mine and we're touring and this is good. And then some of them went, okay, and then they did a selfie with us, which is, if you track back on my Twitter thing, you can see it back last year. But some of the boys there, they were all grumpy and they all marched off. But this is what you can do. You can do something positive. And I'm someone who's from Britain going to France and putting something out there. And then these kids might, some of them might go, oh, I'm going to relook at this. I'm going to change my opinion on this. And when I ran across South Africa, I ran with my nails painted and I carried the South African flag. And that was a positive thing. You can, we can do leadership. We can be positive. But it's good going out there and linking up with other countries and bringing this positive message out rather than running and hiding. Running and hiding is not the British way. Let's stand and fight. Come on, Britainers. Get up off our knees and stand and fight.